this morning is from Matthew, the 17th chapter, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. We're using the New International Version, but whatever Bible version that you have today, I'm sure it will be very similar. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard it, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Been thinking this past week a little bit about mountain climbing, rock climbing, mountain climbing, and I know that they're two different sports, but just for a minute today, we'll lump them together. Top 4 signs that you've been climbing too long. 1, your climbing equipment is worth more than your new Range Rover. 2, you can't help but keep climbing up your grandparents' fireplace. You catnap on stone countertops. You go to church. Sorry, I like this one. That doesn't mean you will, but you go to church and scout out various good routes up to the ceiling. From Isaiah, the 30th chapter, the Lord's people will sing as they do when they celebrate a festival at night. The Lord is the mighty rock of Israel, and God's people will be happy, as glad as they are when they follow the sound of music to that special mount, the sacred heights where he is worshiped and praised. In Matthew, the 17th chapter, we read about an incredible and astounding event that took place on a mountain. Christ Jesus is on the summit with his 3 closest disciples, Peter and James and John. And on this peak, those 3 disciples saw their master transfigured. One translation says, completely transformed. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became a pure and glistening white. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to the master, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But while Peter was still jabbering on, they were enveloped in a shimmering bright cloud. And from it, a voice, I think we could say capital V, voice, spoke clearly. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus comes and touches them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked, they saw no one except Jesus. Well, let's attempt this morning to stand with those disciples for a while near the summit and maybe glean a few reminders for our life in the Lord today. First, we also need to see and remember who Jesus is. You and I need to see as well who Jesus truly is. Dwight Lyman Moody, D.L. Moody, was the Billy Graham of the late 1800s in America, and it was Charles Spurgeon in England, but D.L. Moody in the United States, who touched millions with the transforming love of Christ. And let's listen to Pastor Moody tell about an intense dream that he once experienced. He says, some years ago, I had a strange dream, and he said, I'm not constructing this from my imagination, nor for the sake of a sermon. But he says, I was passing through a time of great difficulty and strain and unhappiness. Yet in my dream, I was offered a personal interview with Christ the Savior himself. And I thought, I will ask him this, I will ask him that. Now I will receive an answer to all my questions and the key to all my problems. Yet, believe it or not, he writes, in the glory of his presence, it was not that I forgot to ask him anything. It just seemed utterly unnecessary and meaningless to have to ask. Somehow I had an overwhelming feeling that even he would not be able to explain everything to me because of my mental grasp that was so tiny and so limited. Nevertheless, there did come an inundating feeling of supreme joy that said, questions no longer needed to be answered. It was sufficient to know that there was an answer. Even in my little mind, it could not be perceived. I knew, though, that all was well, and somehow I knew that all was well with everybody who comes to him in faith. And in that dream, D.L. Moody, the preacher to multiplied thousands, found himself in the presence of the living Christ, the risen Christ, and found himself speechless. He definitely treasured and retold the details of that magnificent dream. Well, we all need, each one of us needs to see Jesus. And yes, we see him in the scripture. We see him in the Lord's Supper and in all the songs and prayers and melodies and sermons. We see Jesus in the love of one another, in the wonders of nature, and in every word and every deed of love that we extend and that we receive. Now and then we truly need some mountaintop for a fresh, reviving glimpse of our Lord and Savior. And perhaps on that mountain we'll catch a glimpse of what we also can become, what you and I can grow to be in his name. Those disciples saw the Savior amazingly transfigured, but did they know that a kind of transformation was also taking place in them, in the depths of their lives and in their hearts and minds? Now, that transformation wouldn't be sealed until Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God came down to empower them from the inside out. But on that day in the Heights, it was happening too. People cannot come into the presence of Jesus without becoming conscious of what, by his grace, you and I might one day be as well. In the little letter of 1 John in the Bible, the apostle says it this way. He says, beloved, we are God's children now, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. A scripture paraphrase chooses these words, when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him, and in seeing him, become like him. Peter, James, and John were privileged to share, even for a few moments, share in that company of God's greatest. And I believe that helped their courage, fueled their faith, and re-inspired their love. Dear ones, I believe this. It doesn't mean that you have to believe it, but I think that we are living in a very cynical, very doubtful, very bitter time. No, not always and from everybody, but there's that edge of bitterness, cynicism. Yet spending time with Christ, sitting at his feet, receiving his spirit, opening to his incomparable message, taking in the majesty of who he is. Little by little, thereby we grow. We grow all the more in his image. There was a time when I was a seminarian, and I believe it was my middler year in seminary. I had fought illness and had to have surgery early during one semester, and I was behind, and I was sort of not losing faith, but losing hope that I would make it through that middler year of school. And it really, obviously, I'm telling you, it really bothered me to the depths. It shouldn't have bothered me at much, but it did. And I had, as I was getting ready to go back to school for that first week back, I had just maybe a second or two, no more, of this wondrous love and peace engulfing me inside and all around. And there weren't words spoken, but it was just a clear message inside. I got you. Here's my peace. This is my love. You go forward and things will be okay. Now, I haven't had another one just like that since, but I was grateful for it, and it changed my gears for the better. Peter, James, and John were privileged to share, even just for a moment. It helped their courage, it fueled their faith, inspired their love. And I was thinking as well of a faithful Presbyterian minister who had served for years and years at a big downtown church, but he decided to shift gears in middle age, wanted to settle down, and pastor with a smaller, more rural congregation. And this happened in the 1930s, many years ago, during the Great Depression. But this is the way that pastor told the story of his first big country farm meal in a church member's home. He said the eating was so good, it was almost sinful. Baked ham, fried chicken, and roast beef, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, vegetable casseroles fairly dripping with butter, fresh baked bread and rolls, and for dessert, hot blueberry pie topped with huge scoops of homemade vanilla ice cream. What are y'all going to have for lunch? But all through that meal, he said, something was bothering me, and I just couldn't quite put my finger on what it was, and then it affected my overall enjoyment of the meal. And all during that dinner, my wife and I were hearing the obvious sounds of running water. And it really unnerved us. He says, back in the city, that sound was bad news. It meant somebody had left the faucet on, and the sink or tub was about to overflow and cave in. For 90 minutes, the preacher said, I heard not much else except that sound of running water. However, since it was my first visit to this elder's home, I was reluctant to say anything. He says, finally, I could no longer contain myself, so I asked about it. And with a smile, our host explains the situation to us. It seems that 40 years before, when people had built that farmhouse, they discovered a spring of good, fresh, clean water right in the center of the property that they'd purchased. So they built a spring room around it and then designed the house around that spring room. And for 40 years, the people who lived in that house had been refreshed and nourished and cleansed by this spring of water surging up right in the middle of their home. And the preacher said, I kept thinking to myself, that's what Jesus is constantly trying to tell us, that it is possible for us to build the rooms of our lives around the pure, life-giving fountain of amazing grace. We do well to see again who Christ Jesus is. And as we're near him, we'll grow subtly, yes, over time, probably, but we'll grow according to his likeness. And finally, Transfiguration Mountain reminds us that we are not in control, but we can trust the one who is in control. We're not in control, not nearly as much as we think we are some days, but we can place our trust in the one who is. And that's good news for today and every day. God the Creator, Christ the Savior, the Holy Spirit the Strengthener, the Lord God can be trusted to bring us to where we need to be. In the year 1351, the Earl of Wickham decided to found a college called New College at Oxford, England, where the universities and the schools were springing up. Well, times then and that year were grim. The bubonic plague had taken a terrible toll on the population. People were aggrieved and angry and frightened. Nevertheless, Wickham trusted God with all his heart and was determined to make this new college at Oxford succeed. So the Earl paid for the building of the college, and the school flourished. Centuries later, it was time to replace the oak beams in the main hall of New College, Oxford. The authorities approached the Earl of Wickham's descendants to ask for a donation to cover the cost of the new beams. And to their surprise and delight, the Earl's descendants told them, "We're ready. We've been waiting for you," they said, "and the oak beams are virtually ready for you." Well, it turned out that the Earl of Wickham, over 500 years earlier, had foreseen the need for replacing those beams, so he planted a grove of oak trees on his property, specifically for that purpose, but that was during his own lifetime that they were planted. Dear friends, that's a living example, as I see it, a living example of faith. That's the kind of faith we need for the living of our lives. On the mountaintop, yes, and many, many times in the valleys and in the canyons, often throughout the flatlands, the plains, most always through the Bible, through prayer and worship at the Lord's table, by caring and loving and giving, and squarely in the middle of your heart and my heart, He is there. He is here. Thanks be to God. Amen.